Buenos dias. Good morning, everybody. It's so good to be here with you. Praise God for our worship team. Each year from September 15 to October 15, millions of Americans celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. It's a great time of the year to learn about what it means to be Hispanic and take time to recognize the achievement Hispanic communities have made in the United States and around the world. Hispanic Heritage Month is a time to honor the history, culture, and civic contributions of Americans with heritage from Mexico, Central and South America, and the Caribbean. This period shines a spotlight on American Latino communities, and its first day coincides with the Independence Days of several, including Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, Mexico, and Chile. Today we have the distinct honor to listen and learn from Hispanic Christian leaders from different backgrounds and experiences. The conversation will focus on the Hispanic Church in America and higher education. Joining us today to lead this discussion is our very own board member, Jesse Rincones, who also serves as the executive director of the Hispanic Baptist Convention of Texas. Yeah. Pastor Fernando Rojas from Axo Avenue Baptist Church, Dr. Pablo Juarez from FBC Kaufman en Español, and Pastor David Miranda from the Promise Church. Thank you so much for being here with us, and enjoy your conversation. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kramer, Luis, and Criswell College for taking this time to have an excuse to serve tamales and aguas, right? And, you know, as we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month, it's not your fault. We're Latino, and it's not our fault. God created us that way. And I think if we can discover how God works in so many different contexts and so many different peoples, it'll help us to appreciate and glorify him even more. Well, Latinos, we can't agree on the origin of the guayabera, what's better, pupusas or gorditas, or who has a better soccer team. But I think there's a consensus, at least among Hispanic pastors, and that's on the importance of education and how that role plays in the believer's life to love the Lord their God with all their mind. And we have different experiences here, educational experiences that start thousands of miles away from some cultures, people whose first language was not English, those who come from the No Sabo crew. And would you just take a minute, each of you, to just share with us a little bit about your educational journey and how you saw God's hand or faith or the church involved in that? David.
All right. Well, my name is David Miranda. Again, thank you for having us. My background is I was born here in Dallas. My parents are migrants from Mexico. Essentially, they're missionaries because my dad came here to be equipped and to become a pastor. And so he's pastored here for over 35 years. And so I grew up in Sulphur Springs, Texas. Throughout my journey, one of the things that was, I feel, unique is I didn't really have aunts and uncles here in the States. All my extended family was in Mexico. And so what happened is that the church became my aunts and uncles. And for me, I never felt like I missed out on that. I never felt like I was alone in it because of the church context. And I think that's kind of the framework that I want to paint this answer on, is that if the church truly becomes a body that's united, I think those growing up without those extended family members, church is family. And so we hope that can be the same thing. And when I say that, I also say that as a member of a family, a church family, what I do, my responsibility now is to show others that it's possible. And so currently I'm working on a PhD at Dallas Baptist University. And so it's always been because of God's grace and his goodness. But also, I also feel that because of God has given me this opportunity, now I need to share that with others. And I think that same thing applies to you. I think you've been given an opportunity to be an example to someone else. All the things that we've been given is so that we can bless others.
And get ready to get challenges. These are all pastors, so they might even do an altar call at the end for you to pass your grades
right,
this semester. Pastor Fernando.
My name is Fernando Rojas, and my journey is kind of similar to David's. My family and I immigrated when I was about 11 years old, as you probably usually hear, to looking for a better life. And when I came here, I also didn't have family, so the church became my family. Friends from church became my family. And I graduated from high school, and then I took a little bit of a break, about 20 years, before I went to college. But friends like Jesse and others that challenged me and said, you know what, because I said, I wish I could go back, but it's too late. They said, no, you still have time. You still have time to go back. You still have time to be a good influence to the people in your church, to challenge your youth. So that was a challenge. And so I decided to go and work on my associates so I could tell my children, who were getting close to high school age and college age, so I could tell them, if I could do it while working, while leading a family, while leading a church, then you can do it too. And so that's kind of where my journey's been, and that's been the challenge to our church, and in learning how to go through the whole system of applications and all that, we've been also able to help the youth in our church who don't have those parents with the information to get them into college. And so I've been very blessed with friends that have challenged me. Right now, I'm working on my master's, and I'm applying for my doctorate to start next year.
That's handy.
All right. Well, my name is Pablo Juarez, and I came to the U.S. a little bit older than you guys. I was already 30 years old. So my first language is Spanish, and I came three times undocumented here to the U.S. The first time I came alone, then I came with my wife, and then the last trip that I made was with my children, and it was in 1995. I wasn't a Christian, so my journey has been a little bit different too. So I became Christian here 2 years later after I arrived at the U.S. In my educational journey, when I was 17, I went to Cuba. I'm from Nicaragua. I went to Cuba and get a technical degree. Then in Nicaragua, I got an agriculture engineer degree. And then after that was when I moved here and I became Christian. So right away after, education has been big in my life. And I don't know from where I got it, because nobody in my family has a degree. So, but I came, I became Christian, and immediately I went to the seminary, graduated with a diploma. Then I went for a BA in religion, and then I went for a master in divinity, and I went for a doctor in ministry. And then after that, I went for a master in higher education. And the last master I got is master in international business. So it been a. I'm trying to make my children to get more than me. So that's my goal. See if they can catch up with. But church for me, church and education, they go hand in hand. They go together. I think. One of the greatest things that God gave us is a mind, and He wants for us to develop our mind. And education is the greatest tool to help Christian to develop.
I am always in awe of students that come from other countries and can get a degree in a second language that's not their original language. I can't imagine going to get a bachelor's in Mexico, even though I know Spanish, much less several masters and a D min and an M div. So, Dr. Juarez, you're an inspiration to us. And above all that, you also changed Luis's diapers.
And so that's you're quite. Yeah, I don't want to mention that, but
you can tell stories stories later.
Yeah,
you've all mentioned that somewhere along the way, whether it was early on in your life the church played an integral role. Do you have any memories of pastors or Christian leaders or people in your church that in one way or another were inspirational or encouraging or determinative of where you are right now in your education space?
I guess I'll answer that. Yeah. Well, I think more so from the pulpit. I think more than anything, it came from the pulpit. With this understanding, again, I'm speaking about framework, the understanding that God is creative. He's not limited to one ethnicity. And I think this is why this conversation matters, too, is that God in creating us diverse is showing and displaying his creativity. And so at the same time, showing that we all have value. The heart of God, whenever I preached on Mark this past Sunday.
I told you a sermon was going to come out.
It's coming. Mark 11. And it's Jesus flipping tables, and he's upset. And he's saying, you have turned my house of prayer into a den of thieves. And so what Jesus is doing is he's quoting Jeremiah, this passage where he's in the Gentile courts when he's saying this. And he's quoting this passage in Jeremiah 7. When it speaks on the injustice of the Israelites. And the injustice of the Israelites was their inability to care for the foreigner. And so, again, going back to your question, how have they encouraged us is by showing us the heart of God and his desire for us, all of us, to be part of his kingdom. And I think this applies to all of us today because we're all Gentiles. A lot of us are Gentiles. I don't know if there are any Jewish people here, but he opens that up to all of us. And I think that's the framework that from the pulpit, our pastor was intentional on sharing. You know, you might feel different, but different is a good thing because it shows God's creativity.
There's what amazing connection between God's plan and purpose, and there's a divine connection with a BA in math, right?
I think like Dr. Juarez was saying that education and church go hand in hand. I'm the product of church outreach. Our church, my first church, they offered ESL classes, and that's also education, educating someone to be able to be a part of the country, to be able to learn the language. That's important that your churches may doing some type of outreach, and you may think, well, what does that have to do with the Spirit? People like me are the ones that get to know Jesus through those outreach programs. So that's where I see education going along within the church. That when we go and reach and help them with their needs, when we go and help the person that is in need, no matter what they're going through, and love them through it and teach them and show them that we love them because Jesus loved us first, then that's when we display the gospel in a different way.
Yeah, I wish I could say that within the church I got that encouragement, but it was actually from the novellas, from the TV, from the soap opera that when I was a little kid, I saw those people in managing administrators, and I got that desire to be educator. But it was a human desire. But when I became Christian, I thought about how God wants us to be good stewards of everything that he has given us. And I thought about if we in the world, I and people are trying to get educated, where I think within the church, we have to do it even with bigger reasons, because we are Christians and God wants to serve the world. God wants us to serve the world. So there is a lot of the IQ, the intelligent coefficient, there is the AI. And something that I discovered in my studies is the cultural intelligence, how the world is so different. And if we don't learn from God and we don't get educated, we're going to miss a big part of God's plans of reaching the world. So education is key, and it has been a great inspiration to me to serve the people that God sent my way.
That biblical connection is very clear in the greatest commandment, right? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, heart, strength, your mind. And I often share with our Hispanic churches that we see a lot of the love the Lord with all your heart. Oh, we're passionate about our worship and a little vibrant and sometimes being accused of being a little too charismatic-y. And we're also passionate. We also love the Lord with all of our strength. You know, our churches are known for, you know, selling taco plates to send the kids to youth and working hard and doing ministry and missions. And often in our congregations, we don't often speak of loving the Lord our God with all our mind. What are some of the things that you have seen maybe your church or other churches do to encourage and influence and spark that loving God with their mind, especially through education?
We serve the elementary school right next to us. We do what's maybe some of y'all have heard of the program, Old Pro Dad Breakfasts. And so there we get to invite parents to have breakfast with their kids. We talk about a certain specific topic that's going to help them. And it's educating them on how to parent and how to live life. And it's an opportunity to share the love of God through different ways there. We also, one of the other things we do is every year on the night right before FAFSA opens, we get together through Zoom. We go through each of the steps of FAFSA so that if there's any questions, we can answer them with one another. And then they turn it in right at midnight because it's first come, first serve, right? So we try to help them out to navigate through this whole process that for many of them, being first or second generation Hispanics and have never had the college experience or their parents have had it, then we can help them navigate through that.
What a great asset. When I went to college, first gen college student, my parents bought my first book, and that's about all the help that they could give me to have somebody walk you through that process step by step and to get it done on the first day. That's even more of a miracle.
Yeah, because Hispanics are always late anyway. So.
Yeah.
We won't be late to the tamales today,
yeah.
That's for sure.
We're trying to turn that around, so.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that right now we're doing is we're offering GED classes for our community. So I think 70% of Hispanics don't go to college because they think they cannot afford it or they are not a college material. That's the thinking. And in my preaching, in my one-on-one conversation, I tell everybody, if I were able to get so many degrees, so you can, because, you know, this was the most painful experience that I have in my life, being in a classroom with 40 white kids. I was the only Hispanic, and I was 40 years old, working in my BA, all BA student. I mean, I was sitting there, I was trembling, I didn't want the teacher to ask me any question, because I was afraid that I'm gonna say things the wrong way, and when I was in my master, my professor said, you need to do a presentation, and I could not sleep for 1 week, because it was so hard. So there are so many people that think so many Hispanics, they think they are no school or college material, but they are, because they have that mind of God. I mean, they have that mind that God has given to everyone. There is no distinction from God, black, white, brown, or yellow, or whatever. It's the same brain that he gave us. It's just a matter of being obedient to God, and I think the church, in my church, that's a constant reminder to people, you need to go to college. To students, you need to go to college, because this is what God wants us for us to do.
And one of the things I often remind students in my church is that college may not be for everyone. Luis, I know you don't want to hear that. It's a recruiter. College may not be for everyone, but education is. Everyone can be educated. And as I look back on my own personal history, the most memorable educational moment wasn't whenever I got to speak at my son's graduation from college. It's when my dad contacted me and told me he'd gotten his GED. And that was that's a moment that sticks with me. And so churches that provide ESL and GED classes, you know, what a you are lifting up people's not only opportunity but their spirits, their ability to love the Lord their God with all their mind. Have any of y'all found any kind of challenges or controversies when pastors or the church advocate for education in their congregations or in their community?
Yeah, I think one of the challenges that I see, at least with my culture, and this is a first gen Hispanic, is our priorities aren't always in the right place. And I think it goes back to what Pastor Juarez was saying about the fear. There's fears involved. There's the fear of the unknown. And I think that's something that we all deal with, not knowing what's next or having never seen it before in our own context or modeled. And I think also many of us would, it's hard to take out a loan for investing in ourselves, but we might invest in a car or might invest in clothing or different things. But I think it's seeing that self-worth of, hey, you can invest in yourself. You're capable. You can do it. And this applies to us all. You know, I think it could be easy for us to say, well, does this really matter? And just be short-sighted. I think that we need to trust the process and also trust in God's calling. Because if God has called us to be here and to get a higher education, then he will be faithful. And he'll provide one way or another.
I think one of the challenges is the values, they clash. Because education is a value. And sometimes in our community, in the Hispanic community, what there's more value is hard work. You know, working hard is more important than going to college. So when we start advocating for students or young people, the youth go to college, we have that challenge to be able to show them that you have to get educated first and then you go to work. So that will make a difference in their life. But I will say the clash in values is one of the biggest challenge, at least that I have faced.
And one of the greatest ways to overcome so many barriers is to be able to see people right there that you can touch, that you can talk to and listen to with maybe similar backgrounds or experiences or limitations and see them overcome. I often think about Liz and Senia, who is the state WMU director, the first Latina director of a state WMU organization. And she shares her story growing up, I think it was a little small town south of San Antonio. And she had a lady who came to a church to speak. And it was the first Latina that she had ever encountered that had gone to college and graduated. She had never encountered someone that looked like her and talked like her that had gone to college. And it was that Sunday morning experience that inspired her to go on to get her education and get her degrees. What would you say if you had a room full of people, say they were celebrating Hispanic History Month, and they were waiting to go eat some tamales and aguas. And the only thing that stood between them and that great food is our kind of wrapping up today. What words of encouragement or challenge do you have to the Criswell students this morning?
How much time do we have? No, I'm a pastor, so here's a pastor answer again, mini sermon. Isaiah 58 is one of my favorite passages where it talks about where Israel has been fasting for a long time. And they fasted and they fasted. And they're asking God, we're fasting, but you're not hearing us. You're not changing our situation. And God tells them, he says, you're fasting in the way that you want to fast. This is the way that I want you to fast. Mm-hmm. My fast is for you to care for the poor, for you to care for the widow. for you to give shelter to the foreigner. And he says, only then, when you do all these things, will your light shine forth and break in the dawn. And so this has been one of my life verses, is that through this is the lens that I see the world through, is what is the fast that God wants in my life? Mm. What is the work of my hands that God wants from me? And I think a lot of times we want to worship the way we want, with the songs that we want, and the style and the fashion that we want. But have we stopped to ask, what is the fast that God wants from my life? And I think every single person that God puts in our lives is a mirror back to us. It's like, how will I deal with this person, or how will I love this person? And that reflects the heart of God in me. So.
It would be a pastor that when we're all thinking about tamales, he would talk about fasting.
One thing that I will say, it brings to my mind when John, the Apostle John, was having this vision of people of every nation, every tribe, they were worshiping the Lord all together. So, and the vision that I see, and that vision that John has, that we need to be cross-cultural. We need to develop that attitude. I would say it's an attitude and a spiritual something to be able to be every human being as a God creature, as a God creation, because in the end, it doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what language you speak. You're going to be, if you're a Christian, everybody will be together worshiping the Lord. So developing good cross-cultural relationships is key, because not just because it's something spiritual and is the truth what the Lord wants, but we live in a global everything. It is a global system right now. Just look at internet and everything. It is global. Marketplace is global. I mean, everything is global. And if we stay in our silo, we're gonna lose the opportunity to impact the world. So if we really, really want to serve the Lord in the way that He wants us to serve Him, we need to appreciate all cultures. Every person for every culture, and we need to be able to create good relationship and serve them, because I think that's where we should be.
That cultural quotient is not just a spiritual asset, but a financial asset, right? My oldest kid is a fourth generation Tejano, worse no sabo than me, and one day he just starts speaking Spanish to my mother-in-law, to his grandmother, and to us, and we're wondering what's going on here. And we realized that he was applying for a job at a local bank, and they were going to pay like 50 cents more an hour if he was bilingual, and he was trying to pass the bilingual test. And so that the ability to work across and work with people who don't look like us or talk like us or maybe don't even have the same values as us, it's a great kingdom asset, and it's also one that's great for business.
I'll try not to sound too preachy, but it probably will come across as that. One of the things I love about the Bible and preaching it is that even though it was written so far back and so far away from us in a culture so different from us, it's so applicable to each of our lives. And so one of the verses that it reminds me whenever I think, especially for those of you who might be immigrants, is Joshua 24. When he challenges the people to see the idols of their background, to see the idols of a progressing world as they entered the promised land, and to make a decision, a firm conviction of saying, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I want to challenge you to be that Joshua generation. You see the things of the past. Maybe if you're an immigrant, you even see the gods that maybe your parents have known about or have taught you about. You see the gods of the current generation, maybe money, success, power. But you have to make the decision, especially as Criswell College students. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But do not fall into the trap that they fell into. Because if you continue on to the next book of Judges, it says that once Joshua died, once his generation died, there arose a generation that did not know the Lord and the great works that he had done. Don't give up on sharing the gospel to the next generation. Regardless of what they look like, regardless of what they might sound like, continue to share the gospel, because that is the greatest thing that you can do, to share with the next generation the great works that the Lord has done.
Can't think of a better way to conclude our time together than with that challenge. Father, we thank you that you have not created us all to look the same and think the same and speak the same and like the same foods and appreciate the same art or music. God, we thank you for your image that is instilled in each one of your creation. Father, for those who have discovered more than just being your creation, who've discovered what it is to be adopted into your family, who can call you Abba Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have something that unites us across cultures and languages and borders. We have one spirit, and one faith, and one Lord, and one baptism, and one hope. And we pray, Father, that in that difference, that what unites us would be greater than what separates us, and that it would always be Christ who shines through us, regardless of where we come from and where we're going, that you would shine greatly in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's thank our panel. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Appreciate it very much. I'll be dismissing you in just one moment. I just want to make a point first to say thank you to Student Services for all the work they're doing to draw our attention to Hispanic Heritage Month. I'm grateful for that. Grateful for every little emphasis to remind us of all of the different cultures, the different attitudes and opinions that are brought to the fore when we're trying to serve the Lord. And I think it's perfect that this was a panel discussion for a few reasons. First of all, Fernando, I'm really glad you were here. I don't know if you know my background with Hazel Avenue Baptist Church. It's minor. Yeah, it's minor, but I had a pastor when I was a little child out in West Texas who ended up at Hazel Avenue for several years, and I got to preach a revival there, and my Aunt Polly was a member there, and I don't even know if I told you that, but yeah. Yeah. So back in the day, you know, Aunt Polly. Who doesn't know Aunt Polly? Anyway, so I'm really grateful to see all of these individuals, these men who are helping us as a school also to grasp this. It's funny because we think to ourselves, oh, I want to know about diversity and I want to promote other perspectives. So what do the Hispanics think? As if there's a Hispanic opinion, you know, as if they're just one person or something like that. It's the same with all, it's as if I looked at you and said, oh, you're white. You must think the same thing Elon Musk thinks. So it's really nice to hear from different voices what we ought to be considering as we just figure out together how we serve the Lord with all of the differences that are between us. And so I extend a great thanks to all of you for coming and sharing with us on the panel, and Jesse for serving on our board and helping us as a school to do a better job, and for all the work you do throughout the state, all of you do throughout the state to help us be better servants of Christ. So our next step is we're going to leave this room, and as many of you as possible, please join us out in the courtyard for all the celebration that we'll have out there and spend some time with our panelists, and I'll hope to see you out there, okay? God bless you. You're dismissed. Missed.